From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. About one out of three households in Maryland has income above the federal poverty level, but not enough to cover basic necessities like housing, food, childcare, healthcare, and transportation. That's the conclusion of the ALICE Project, United Way statewide analysis, which reveals a staggering situation in almost every county. We asked Franklin Baker, the new CEO of United Way of Central Maryland, to describe ALICE: asset limited, income constrained, employed.
They're in our workplace. We meet them in a grocery store. They're individuals who work hard every single day, but they don't earn enough money to make basic ends meet.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. More than one out of three households in Maryland is struggling to make ends meet, seriously struggling. Their income is above the federal poverty level, but not enough to cover the costs of basic necessities like housing, food, childcare, healthcare, and transportation. That's the conclusion of the United Way, which analyzed the cost of living in each of Maryland's counties and how many households have a high enough income to cover those costs. It's called the ALICE Project, ALICE being an acronym for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. Franklin Baker, the new CEO and president of United Way of Central Maryland, is with me to discuss the ALICE Project. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much for having me, Sheila.
Who is ALICE?
ALICE are individuals that we meet and deal with every single day. They're in our workplace. We meet them at the cafeteria. We meet them in a grocery store. They're individuals who work hard every single day. As you stated correctly, they earn above the federal poverty level, but they don't earn enough money to make basic ends meet. And so the individuals that comprise 53% of the workforce in Maryland.
53%. More than half the workforce.
53% of the workers in Maryland earn below $20 per hour. In fact, most of that number earns between $10 and $15 per hour. This is the state of our state. Many workers work really, really hard trying to support their families, but don't earn enough to make basic ends meet.
You represent United Way of Central Maryland, the central counties. Where is ALICE? Where does she
live? ALICE resides throughout the entire state, the 24 counties. In fact, just to back up for a second, the ALICE report has been launched in 15 states throughout the country. The remaining 35 states and the District of Columbia will be launched over the next 3 years. But our excitement hinges around the fact that now we have an opportunity to look at this population in a very unique way to assess what the income looks like for a family of four, for a single individual, for a family of two, to understand county by county and then neighborhood by neighborhood how this impacts the workers in our various counties throughout the state of Maryland, and what we can do legislatively, what we can do as employers to actually begin to increase assets for these individuals, increase their income base, as well as to remove barriers that affect them in moving up the ladder of income so they can actually do better for their families.
Your acronym, ALICE, makes it easy to think of this as more of a problem among women. What would you say about that?
I think we've heard that when we created the report, but I think it really puts a person attached to this. Many of the workers naturally are women. In fact, the numbers say that it is more than 50% of the workers in the state of Maryland are women. But the goal really is for us to try to help every single individual and household. And as you correctly stated, there are 743,000 households in the state of Maryland, 2.1 million families or households in the state of Maryland, but 743,000 of those are considered ALICE. Some of those individuals are below the federal poverty level, and another 25% are above the federal poverty level, but they don't quite meet the ALICE threshold. So let me just briefly explain what the ALICE threshold is, because this is important for their listeners to understand. For a family of four, in order to get to a place where you're maintaining enough income to meet the basic survival budget, you have to earn $61,000 per year in the state of Maryland. And this varies by jurisdiction. So it's different in Howard County versus Baltimore City. But overall, for the state of Maryland, you must earn $61,000 per year for a family of four. The state report demonstrates two adults, one preschooler, and one infant as this family of four, just as an example. And this means that there is a large number of individuals living in the state of Maryland that do not earn that income. Therefore, they're struggling to afford transportation, rent, health care, basic food needs, et cetera. So it's really a striking understanding of the plight of many of the individuals in the state of Maryland who are working so very hard, some cases two jobs, to make basic ends meet for their family.
Let me tease out a couple of the points you made. I mean, one way of looking at this analysis is that the federal poverty line doesn't mean what we thought it did. It doesn't really tell us who is poor.
Right.
Is that a fair summary of the ALICE analysis, or is there more to it than
that? That's absolutely correct, Sheila. The federal poverty level is extremely antiquated. It's outdated. It doesn't really measure. It doesn't keep up with the current inflation in a way that's meaningful. So this $23,850 is a number that represents that same family of four. That is the federal poverty level. That's called a 100% of FPL, or federal poverty level. For that same family of four, is $23,850. So there's a big gulf between the $23,850 for that family of four and the $61,000 number that I mentioned earlier, which means you're basically
$61,000 that it takes to actually pay family expenses in Maryland.
And that's minimally. That means it does not include essentially paying for a cell phone or having savings or a rainy day fund or monies to put away in case your car breaks down or one healthcare crisis occurs. So you really are just surviving.
That's Franklin Baker, who took over the helm of United Way of Central Maryland last November. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about an analysis by United Ways across the country called the ALICE Project. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. You mentioned survival budget. What is the household survival budget?
So it is essentially an outline of those five basic expense line items, and it gives each individual that's a part of a family of four, or even an individual or a larger family, it gives them a sense for what does it take to survive under each of those five categories of expenses. So the first one, of course, is rent. Second one is child care. In some households, in fact, this number is really growing. In some households, the child care expense line item exceeds the rent line item. In some cases, food may outpace childcare. So it depends upon the family. But in many cases, it's more expensive to actually send your children off to childcare than it is to take care of your food or to manage your transportation, especially in this age of Uber and Lyft, where individuals are opting to pursue that as a transportation option versus getting on the bus or the train. So it is really a dynamic, of course, and is individualized to the family. But when those five major expense line items exceed the person's ability in terms of income, then you have a crisis that's facing that particular family. And so our job as a community is to find ways, whether it's through legislation, and I'm sure we'll get to that in our interview, or find ways from the employers being more flexible, all the various opportunities for us to create opportunities to increase assets and to increase the ability for family to move up the ladder of income. That's what we're really hopefully trying to pursue as a community.
The ALICE report also talks about a household stability budget. How does the stability budget differ from the survival budget?
So let's go back to that same example of family of four with a preschooler, infant, and two adults. That number to maintain a survival budget is $61,000 in the state of Maryland in the aggregate on average. For the stability budget, it is $121,000 per year. For that same family, they would need to more than double their income to get to a place where they're actually maintaining the appropriate amount of food that's ADA approved, the amount of monies to maintain a cell phone, to maintain a rainy day fund, to maintain an emergency fund, monies they begin to put away in a college fund. So this gives them the wherewithal as a family to begin to be protected, to have the appropriate amount of insurance in case something happens. So that is the difference. It's 100%, just about 100% differential between a family maintaining a survival budget versus stability budget.
Focusing on the survival, why, in a state that is considered a wealthy state, why so many Alice households?
And that's so interesting you shared that, because the average income throughout the state of Maryland is about $73,000. And there's 10% of the individuals that are considered below the federal poverty level throughout the state. So it does seem on the surface that we wouldn't have quite the problem. But the challenge is there are certain counties in the state of Maryland that skew the number upward. So Howard County is one. It's a very wealthy county. Prince George's County, very, very wealthy county. So there are some counties,
and
Montgomery County for sure. There are certain counties that skew the numbers. But when you get under those numbers, you do realize county by county, and then below that, jurisdiction or township by township, neighborhood by neighborhood. The report, the 200-page report, gets into the level of detail that becomes very helpful for a legislator when they're trying to enact policy, or an employer when they're trying to understand how can we build supports for our employees so they can actually have career development and laddering throughout the company. So it is alarming, though, when you think about the sheer number of people who fall in this category. These are people, again, that we meet every single day at the grocery store, the dry cleaner, and some of our companies when they're earning between $10 and $15 per hour, most of them, and some just below $20 per hour. So it becomes our collective corporate social responsibility to find ways creatively to assist this group of individuals that we meet every single day.
Time for a pause here on the record. I'm speaking with the president and CEO of United Way of Central Maryland about ALICE, Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed People in Maryland who are struggling to make ends meet. When we come back, we'll talk about possible solutions. I'm Sheila Cast. Quick break. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about ALICE, not Alice in Wonderland, ALICE in Maryland. It's shorthand for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. It's a study the United Way has done of every county in Maryland to understand what households are struggling to make ends meet and why. I'm speaking with Franklin Baker, who's been president and CEO of United Way of Central Maryland for 6 months. That ALICE study was already underway when you came. Is that a good way to get to know Maryland, or is it kind of overwhelming?
It is a very, very good way to understand Maryland. As you stated, it's been underway for some time. It actually was launched in 2013 in the state of New Jersey, and they've been rolling out United Way as a broader system. They've been rolling out this report in other states. So Maryland rolled out this report for the state of Maryland in January of this year. So it's very informative to begin to learn what other states have done prior to actually figuring out what can work for our state. And very excited about some of the wonderful things that have happened in other states.
You've talked to some ALICE people in Maryland.
Yes, I have.
Who sticks in your memory?
I remember one young lady who works and within the Hopkins system. She makes about $42,000 per year. She worked her way for 6 years to reach that $42,000 per year. She has two children. And one of the challenges is she was thrust into a new income category based upon her overall dollar income.
A new tax bracket.
New tax bracket. So some of the subsidies that she was used to receiving when she was at a lower tax bracket, she's no longer eligible for them.
Uh-huh.
And so what happens is, unfortunately, is she's forced to squeeze the available income from her net to pay for child care, transportation, her rent, and food, and have money to do other things for the children, activities, and it puts her in a real difficult spot. So most people think a person who's making $42,000 with two kids, they should be able to take care of their family fairly comfortably. But with all of the expense categories that all of us face, that money that seems enough becomes squeezed, and it puts a family in a very difficult spot. So she is a person who called our 211, which is a call center, 24-hour, 7 days a week call center.
That
United Way runs and operates. And it gives that individual who calls the ability to receive referrals, advice, counseling, and tools to better inform their own family situation. So I have met individuals like that who have either called our 211 call center or met them in various venues like at church or at a school or in a community setting. And these individuals, they're basic hardworking people that just need to make a little bit more money to provide for their families. And so it's very heartwarming when I think of United Way and the work that we're doing, because we truly are reaching people that are in need of support, in need of tools to help them to improve their situation.
I don't know if this was planned, but the acronym ALICE sort of, it seems to me, shifts our focus a bit. We tend to talk about financially struggling families in terms of their incomes, and certainly income is part of ALICE. It's there in the middle of the word, but ALICE begins with asset. Mm-hmm. That's about wealth. We often don't talk about that. Was that a deliberate focus?
Yes, because many of the individuals do not have vehicles as a first asset. They don't have a vehicle, so they're often relegated. Exactly. They're relegated to using a Lyft or Uber or transportation system, and it puts them in a position where there's less flexibility. There's more money being expended unnecessarily. And so they're a home. Many of them rent as opposed to own. And so their actual asset base is very constrained and limited, as well as their income is limited and constrained.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Franklin Baker, CEO of United Way of Central Maryland, about a study that shows at least a third of Maryland families don't have income that covers basic costs. Is there an ALICE agenda? I mean, what needs to change from your perspective?
There are some 450 United Ways across the country that are joining forces to bring this issue out of the shadows and to really, Sheila, to ignite a grassroots movement to give ALICE a chance to become financially stable. We're raising awareness that ALICE exists in Maryland and that we need to address ALICE for the economic well-being of all residents. So we are really working hard to shed light on the underlying causes keeping ALICE from succeeding. And there are many barriers that keep them from succeeding. And so United Way currently works to provide some short and medium-term solutions for ALICE, such as scholarships to access quality childcare, free tax preparation, and financial and career mentoring. So we have existing place-based services. That's a major focus for United Way of Central Maryland, and something that the organization will look to expand in the years to come. We currently have 12 sites, 6 in the Baltimore City region and 6 in the surrounding Central Maryland region. These place-based services largely focus around financial counseling, literacy development, homeless prevention, shelter diversion, and they work through helping to understand how education can be a significant building block for them as a family. And transportation is also part of the support that we offer in the family stability sites. So these are just some of the things that we're doing.
What kind of transportation support?
So trying to give them credits through supports that are offered by the companies that we work with who provides funding. So a company might give us $50,000 to support a certain number of families, and that money can actually offset the lack of resources that a family offers. So we really are trying to work with companies, institutions, to indicate that, for example, if you give us $100,000 for 20 families, that money can support transportation gaps, it can support child care subsidy gaps, it can support shortages in their savings, and it can support their need for some form of counseling that they otherwise might have to pay for out of their pockets. So to the extent that we can prevent them from being evicted, that money also helps and assists in their budget planning and other needs that prevent them from falling through the cracks. So we're trying to run very, very successful family stability sites throughout the Central Maryland region. And we will only enlarge and expand after we have really gone deep into those neighborhoods and tried to perfect what we're doing to support the families.
When I asked you if there was an ALICE agenda, I assumed that a big part of the answer would be an agenda for the state legislature or for Congress. But that's not what you talked about.
That is the first aspect for us as United Way of Central Maryland, is to do what we can do first. And then the second part of that agenda is just what you said, Sheila, is to work through the legislative angle to figure out how can we actually improve the earned income tax credit or the child tax credit. These are existing subsidies. Currently, they're restricted, and they keep out certain incomes as well as certain age ranges. So if we can work with our state and local as well as federal officials to enlarge and expand those two existing legislative vehicles, that's very helpful.
You mentioned that the ALICE analysis actually started by United Way and other states. I think you said 13 states have done it so far?
14 states now, 15 with United Way of Central Maryland.
Some of those that have been at it longer, what's been the effect in those states?
Florida, for example, they've expanded capacity of free tax preparation and financial education services. They received a fairly substantive grant which allows ALICE households to build assets. Indiana, they expanded the individual development accounts that goes up to 200% of the federal poverty level. And they expanded the ability for families that are considered ALICE to allow them to purchase vehicles, which again, certainly builds assets and removes some of the barriers they typically face. A last one is Connecticut. They're working to actually restore the state earned income tax credit so that it's 30% of the federal earned income tax credit. And they're also trying to address this idea of benefit cliffs, which means that it helps to mitigate the negative impact of earning more income. Just as the example we shared earlier, when you earn more income, in many cases, you're in a situation where your benefits start to decrease. And so they're seeking, the state of Connecticut, they're seeking to have a more gradual reduction in benefits. So there are other examples, but these are just three examples that have happened in other states since 2013, since this report has been rolled out in other states prior to Maryland.
When you talk to people you meet in Maryland whom you are pretty sure fall into the ALICE category, do they think of themselves that way? Do they feel like they're falling through the cracks?
Yes, some of them do. The individuals we have interviewed in some of our sit-downs with clusters of individuals, some of them don't like the term working poor because it strikes at the heart of their dignity, and they feel like they're just like you and I, and they work hard every single day, and there's a sense of self-worth and value in the work that they're doing. They just don't quite earn enough to make the basic ends meet, but they don't like the labels often placed on them like the working poor. That's just one example. They like having a sense of dignity, which is why some of them will work an eight-hour job and then in the evening shift work a four-hour job to just bring in a little bit more income. And so people feel with lots of pride. They don't want a handout. They just want a leg up. And that may mean an additional subsidy that just helps them, maybe more flexibility from an employer. But sometimes if they don't pick their child up by a certain time, there's more expenses associated with that. So if they're given more flexibility by an employer, that will help them. So whatever we can do as a broader community, I think it's our corporate social responsibility to do that, to help the individuals in this situation.
For a lot of residents of Maryland who are not in the ALICE category, this is sort of a surprise. This isn't really the way they think of their state. How do you see them becoming more aware? Is it important that they be more aware?
It's vitally important that they're aware. United Way of Central Maryland created this report to be a public service to the community. It's a conversation starter to get individuals who are not meeting the ALICE threshold to understand what role they can play in helping with this situation. So United Way is going to serve as a convener and a collaborator and a partner with the community to bring all the thought leaders, the legislators, the business community, the community advocates, anyone who concerns themselves with improvement for the community together in various forums throughout this year and next year to begin to lay out what can be done, what have other states done, what can we do specifically in the state of Maryland to begin to move the needle further to increase incomes, to remove barriers for these households that are ALICE, and then collectively to see the progress we have made together towards this end.
I really appreciate your walking us through it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Franklin Baker has been president and CEO of United Way of Central Maryland since last November. The study we've been talking about is the ALICE Project, Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. We have a link to it at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. On the Record is talking to some ALICE families and will bring you their thoughts in coming weeks. On June 8th, United Way is sponsoring a policy forum to address the challenges of ALICE. We have a link to how to register for that discussion at the On the Record page also. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been listening to On the Record. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow.